Accession number 30408, Major Bob Godfrey, Reel 1. Can you tell me when and where you were born, Major Godfrey?
Yep, I was born in 1929, 27th of April, in a farmhouse just off the Ipswich Norwich Road at Stonham called Green Lane Farm.
And Stonham is
S-T-O-N-H-A-M.
And could you tell us a little bit about your family background, about your father, whether he was in the war and his...
Yes, my father and his family, several generations before him, came from the small market town of Needham Market. They were butchers, and then they did quite well in the late 19th century expansion, development, and the net result was that they acquired a farm at this address I've just given you, Green Lane Farm, Stonham, and it was for my father to take over. I should add, initially, he was educated in Ipswich. He was of an age to join the Territorial Army and did so as soon as he was able. He joined the 1st 5th Suffolk TA Battalion, or Territorial Force Battalion, as it was known in those days. But not in time to go, thankfully, I suppose, for the rest of the family, to Gallipoli. He joined the battalion in Egypt and then served throughout the Gaza battles in Palestine, returning to UK in 1919. When his father had purchased Green Lane Farm and offered it to him to get cracking and run.
Now, can I just ask a bit more about your father? Had your father been affected by his military service in any way, either physically or mentally, do you think?
No, he loved every minute of it. He would have liked to stay on as a regular. His regular CO, Colonel William Campbell of the Suffolk Regiment, wanted him to stay on. But he couldn't go against his father's wishes to come out and run the farm his father had bought. There were no other sons. And there was a daughter, or a sister to my father, who was to remain, they all imagined, a spinster for her life, and my father had the duty to look after her as well. And so he would have stayed in the army. He enjoyed it immensely. If I could leap ahead to 1939, within a week of the 3rd of September, he had re-enlisted.
I will come back to that now. Now, so you were born at the farm, well, you know.
Yes, I was the second of two sons born then. My elder brother, Tony, never was involved in military thing, except to do his national service just at the end of the war. We stayed on that farm until 1938. And then, because of the Depression, the whole thing went down the drain, and my father was forced, I think ignominiously from his point of view, it was a great shock, because he was well established in the local sense in that area of Suffolk. He was forced to go to North Cambridgeshire, the small town of Wisbeach, where his wife, my mother, came from, and to live in his father-in-law's house, and to desperately try and find some form of work. In the event, of course, within a year or so of the family moving to Wisbeach in the Isle of Ely, North Cambridgeshire, the war started, and my father went straight into the army. Too old to be an active infantry soldier now, but he joined the Auxiliary Military Pioneer Corps.
Now, what was your life like growing up on the farm? Do you remember the farm?
I mean, you'd be
really about
remember
nine.
I left when I was nine. Eight or nine-ish. I remember it as an idyllic thing, but that's seen through the childhood spectacles. We were a very close-knit, happy family. What I, of course, know with the benefit of hindsight, that my father and mother were both going through huge struggles throughout the late 20s and into the early middle 30s because of the agricultural depression of those years. It was a very clay soil, the farm, and it was just not productive. But a very pleasing, a very good memory of childhood, walking down lanes and picking primroses and so on. When we translated to Wisbeach, it was at that stage that I and my elder brother went to Wisbeach Grammar School, and that was where I completed my full-time schooling.
Now, what do you remember about that? How did you do at school?
I went into the junior prep department for the first 2 years, from 9 till 11. Then I was jumped up into the lower school of the lower form of the upper school. I did really very well in that. So that the next year, what with the war, etc., etc., and problems, I was jumped to form up because I'd done so well in my first year. And from that moment onwards, the thing crumbled. I was struggling to keep up the whole time. I was having to go into a form which had already done a year in Latin and a year in French and so on. So I struggled through school. I mean, I happily struggled, really. Finished up with taking school certificate and getting an abysmal result, sitting it again and getting really quite a good result. 5 credits in those days for school certificate was not
so
bad.
So when you did it the year early, you did badly, and when you did it the right year...
Yeah, correct, absolutely.
So you'd have been better off staying where you were.
Oh, I would indeed have been better off, but it didn't... I mean, I wasn't seriously knocked back by any of this. I didn't take any of this too seriously, really.
Which subjects did you like or were good at or were bad or disliked? They're not always the same.
No, I don't know. I certainly liked history. I liked geography. I liked English language. At that stage in my life, I didn't read a huge amount willingly, but so therefore English literature was not a great strong point, I guess. French, okay. Maths, okay. After I'd mastered quadratic equations, there was no problem.
What about sport?
A sport, I played soccer, not at a high level, but I think at an occasional second 11 grammar school team. All through the war, because my father being away, I longed to get into the army.
Hang on, because let's go back to we'll move to sorry. What do you remember? I mean, I know you were only 10 or so. Do you remember the war breaking out? It's the old thing of
I do very well. I was down at the local council yard filling sandbags, and at 11 o'clock that Sunday morning, the 3rd of September, my father drove down and snatched me back and brought me back in time for the siren to order us all to go into the trench he had dug on World War pattern trenches and covered it over with tin and earth. And we all had a practice go into the trench. Oh, I remember it clearly as anything.
So you had a sort of makeshift air raid shelter or trench?
Yeah, he dug a trench in on World War I lines and then covered it.
And what was it like in there?
It was dark and miserable, a few candles. It got colder through the winter because every time the siren went, day or night, we all evacuated into the trench. It was there at that stage where my father had cleared off into the army.
So you never got an Anderson shelter?
We got whichever the shelter was, which was turned into the family table inside.
Morrison.
Morrison, correct, yes. Never got an Anderson shelter. Quite right.
So outdoors you had this dugout.
Yes, we had this dugout, which we all, my grandfather, my mother, Tony, my older brother, and myself, and two people from across the road joined us when the siren went.
So how big was it?
Oh, it was, I suppose it was, a man could stand up in it, and it must have been... Oh, 12 feet long, I suppose.
That must have been a hell of a job to dig it out.
It was a hell of a sweat, yes. Yes, I could find, if I looked really diligently, photographs of us digging it, I think, somewhere, but I'm not sure.
So you helped him dig it?
Oh, yeah. Well,
what was it covered with? I mean, bomb-proof's always a relative term, but what was on the roof?
It was just, beams. I can't remember what sort of timber work, but beams across with corrugated iron covered by earth.
So it wouldn't stop a bomb, it was splinter-proof.
No.
It was in case a close hit to that. The
yeah, they would have, yes, that's right. I mean, his view, I think, was get out of the house somewhere, in undercover. I mean, Wisbeach did suffer a few bombing attacks, but they were very moderate, and they were usually the result of German aeroplanes returning from the Midlands home and just getting rid of the rest of their bombs.
Do you remember the bombs coming down? What do you remember?
I remember cycling out to inspect what had happened, yes, and seeing houses destroyed and one of our three cinemas destroyed. Oh, clear as bell. I can remember looking, seeing the whole of side of a house collapsed and seeing it as if it were a doll's house with the door open, with beds and mirror and chest of drawers and so on. Very few casualties, as I recall, but there were one or two casualties during the whole space of the war.
Now, what about the Morrison? Can you just explain what the Morrison was for them? Because people don't know about the Morrison.
Well, the Morrison shelter had four huge angle irons about, I don't know, table height, and then smaller angle irons to join them together, top and bottom. And it had a set of springs, sort of rudimentary springs, stretched across the bottom set of legs irons to form a mattress. If you could put a mattress onto it, it would have been comfortable. And we did use it a little. I mean, the thing is, of course, as the war progressed, it became apparent that we were not subject to serious threat of injury, and we treated it. We usually went into it if we heard bombs dropping. But not until...
Now, what about rationing? What effect did rationing have on you, both food and clothing rationing, if any?
I think living in the country and being able to grow a certain amount of vegetables and so on, rationing was not all that severe. I can remember my mother cycling off into the villages to friends of the family from years gone by, when there was a half pound of butter going, which some people would have frowned on, I suppose, but mothers tended to look after their children this way. But nothing more than that. Clothing, we went along and we had stitched up socks and make do and mend totally.
Your brother was older than you.
Yes, he was.
Did you get his hand-me-downs? Or?
Oh, yes, certainly, yes, absolutely right, yep. He was about 2.5 years older than I was. But really, the effect, there was no horrendous effect as seen from a boy of that period.
Now, how did the war affect you at school? I mean, we've heard one thing, which was that you went
to... I jumped
to
class. Yeah, the second thing is that we went on to half-time schooling because schools from London were evacuated. We had two different ones. One was... St. Aloysius from some school, college, I think a Roman Catholic college from somewhere in North London, was evacuated to Wisbech, lock, stock and barrel, and they shared the school with us. I think they may then have moved on because there was another one, and it was called the Stationers' School. I've never gone into it any further. I expect somebody would discover that was sponsored. It was London again, sponsored presumably by one of the livery companies, I don't know. No more than that, but we shared half. And of course, all our young masters vanished into the services, and odd elderly chaps came in to take their place.
How did you get on with the evacuees? I mean, you wouldn't meet them particularly at school because you were on half time. So
Correct, yes.
But what about in the village or the town?
Yeah, in the town, I met them a bit, yes. I mean, we had an evacuee billeted on us. I remember him, Billy Croucher. His mum used to come down every so often to check that he was all right. And at what stage he vanished, I don't know. Again, I think after the Blitz in London was over, the Battle of Britain was won, as it were, most of the evacuees started to move back to London.
Now, how did you get on with Billy Croucher? I mean, was he a different class from you, or in a social sense? Or
difficult to tell, really. My memory of him is he was a poor little boy who was very sad initially, but in the end, I think we got on quite well together, from my memory.
What about the other evacuees, the ones locally? Did you mix with them much?
Not a lot, I think. I think it was because they went to school at different times to us. They tended to remain friendly amongst themselves and we amongst ourselves. I don't honestly recall.
There's no bullying between the groups either way.
I don't think so. Not really. I wouldn't have said so, no. Certainly not within my memory.
Now, what about the impact of your father being away at war? I mean, that can have an impact on it, especially a lad of the age you were, going into your teens.
Yeah, I was fascinated. I had maps on the wall showing the front, because of course he went to this pioneer thing within, he went into the, as I said, the Auxiliary Military Pioneer Corps, and within 3 months he was in France, never in the front line, but with Pioneer Company, building bridges and building stores and so on. To cut a long story short, he then was evacuated back through the time of Dunkirk, but went west and came out at Saint-Nazaire fairly hairily, I think, probably, certainly for a man of his age, because he must by then have been, I suppose, I haven't calculated, in his 40s, if not older. He then went straight back and then spent the next 18 months in Hackney with another Pioneer Corps company clearing bomb damage, coming home to Wisbeach occasionally. I can clearly remember my mother answering the phone when he rang up and said, I'm back in UK from France, which, you know, my mother was going through a nerve-wracking time, obviously. Then he went to Hackney, as I said, and very briefly he had two more jobs, as it were, during the war, and I loved every minute of his career, and I watched it avidly, and I joined the Army Cadet Force, and I rose in the ranks of the Army Cadet Force.
I will come to that. So what did he stay in the Auxiliary Pioneer Corps?
Yes, he did, the whole time. The next job, he was whisked up to Darlington. He was a captain, by the way. He never got promotion. I don't think he sought it, and he was probably too old to get promotion in an active sense. But he went up as 2IC of a company of Pioneer Corps in Darlington, composed, apart from the officers and the sergeant major, entirely of German, Jewish, pre-war immigrants. And there was a big programme about them on the radio the other day, if I remember rightly. Very interesting, because, I mean, it was an amazing thing. And he did that for about a year and a half, I think, or maybe a year. I don't know the times exactly. Where they were involved solely in harvesting and haymaking. These characters were allotted out to farms.
And then after that?
And then after that, he secured for himself a job of adjutant and quartermaster of the 2nd Isle of Ely Home Guard Battalion, based in Ely. And he was there till the end of the war. He did very well there and got lots of good reports from the people who were comprising the main element of the Home Guard. He did it very well, I'm sure. He wrote lots of plays for them and so on, as teaching them administrative duties and security duties. Still got copies of all that about the play. And then came out at the end of the war, became a fieldman for British Sugar Corporation, first of all operating to the Ipswich factory and then to the Ely factory.
Now,
and he died in 1954.
So not that long after the war.
No.
Now, what about, in fact, quite young, too?
63. I don't know whether my dates are right. I need
that's okay. Now, what
warning on that.
What about your interest in the military and the war? Where was it because of your dad? Where did you get so interested in the Army?
I think it was because he was in the Army. By the time he got to Ely with the Home Guard, I spent every hour of every holiday with him in his digs in Ely, helping his quartermaster sergeants in the stores and so on, and otherwise during term time I was an avid army cadet. I finished up as a...
Now tell me about your time in the army cadet. What, that's at the school?
The school originally had an OTC, pre-war, and then when the war came it became A Company, the 1st Isle of Ely Cadet Battalion. So I remained in A Company, the 1st Isle of Ely Cadet Battalion, through till I left to go in the Army proper, and I finished up as an under-officer.
Now, what sort of training did you get? Where was the training done?
I did my Certificate A, Part 1 and Part 2, on farms outside Wisbeach. Map reading and sort of minor tactics, etc., first aid and so on. I attended PT courses at Eastern Command PT School at Shorncliffe, at the Army PT School at Aldershot. I attended tactics, minor tactics drill course at Bury St Edmunds at, I can't remember what it was, number 12 ITC, whatever it was called, the recruit organisation at Bury, at the depot of the Suffolk. And that was there. I just wanted nothing but to go in the army.
Now, who was training you? I should have asked when you started there, by the way. When did you start? How old were you when you started with A Company?
Oh, 13. So 13 and a half, I suppose it was. I can't remember.
1942?
Would have been, I think, yes. Yep.
And you were in it till you left school?
I left school in at the end of the summer term in 1947.
So you did it for 5 years, basically.
Yeah.
Did they? You seem to have gone mainly on courses. Did they actually train you in situ? Do you see what I mean? You know,
at
school.
Well, as I said, I took the training was geared to taking the certificate A, which was the sort of general military certificate. I think certificate B I never did or heard of. That I think was technical. Certificate A, Part 1 and 2, which we were trained for in a pretty haphazard way, I think. I mean, our CO was our geography master at school, and our company commander was our French master at school, and so on. All of them fairly long in the teeth. Good blokes, but, it was... and we collected waste paper from the shops on Saturday mornings, and the training was of a very rudimentary sort. A lot of sports we ran, and we won cups.
So it was the military.
Other Cambridgeshire cadets.
The military side of the training was a bit haphazard.
Yeah, there were no people such as permanent staff, from the army, as they are sort of floating around mostly nowadays. No, it was slightly haphazard, but for me, it was just getting into uniform. Oh, I was a member of the Corps of Drums too, and played bugle.
Now, so you were very keen on this. You got promotion.
I got promotion, Lance Corporal, Corporal, Sergeant. Finally, I was made an under officer. I mean, that was really given to me right at the end of my schooling, in the hope that it would help foster what I hoped to do, which was join the regular army and get a commission.
But that's a lot of promotion in the army cadets. That's unusual to get as much as that.
What, right through? Is
you'd done a lot then, didn't you? I mean,
yes. Yeah, I mean, I was a staunch member of it, certainly.
Did you go away with the cadets on camps?
Every year.
Well, what was a typical camp? What would you do on a typical camp?
Route marches, athletics meetings, night exercises, crawling through trees and bushes to snatch the other side's hurricane lantern, and climbing mountains. Because once we were in Argyle, usually we went to Southwold 1 year, Argyle another year, which was after, of course, it was in Argyleshire. All of the training establishments were there for the D-Day preparations, and they were available for cadets to use, and we used them. Babraham Park, just outside Cambridge, was another. We went there twice, and the other one I remember was Firle. Oh yeah, yes, Firle Park. Yeah, in Sussex, that is.
And you really enjoyed the camps, then?
Oh yeah, hugely. Yeah, absolutely amazing. I just loved it. I lived every minute of it. And the biggest disappointment of my whole school life was when, because I wanted to join the army, because I wanted to go to Sandhurst. And my father obviously encouraged me hugely in this, because he would have liked to have been a regular officer himself after the First World War, as I said. I sat the first examination set for schools, civil service examination set for schools, for boys to take for selection to enter Sandhurst, and I made a total mess of it. I failed completely. I think it was not for want of trying on my part, but it was really for want of trying on the part of the staff at school. I don't blame them, but it was a new thing. Nobody had ever, I mean, they were geared to teaching people school certificate and higher school certificate. In other words, GCSE, A levels now. And they weren't very good at tutoring me through it, I don't think. So I struggled on and sat it and failed it. And then in September 1947, I was called up for national service.
So your desire to sort of start as a regular had been stymied?
Slightly squashed, yes. But I was sitting to myself, and we all knew that it was possible I would go through the back door, as it was put, by joining the army.
Now
and
did you, in a sense, called up almost straight from school then?
Yes, September 17th, 1947.
You didn't start work at all, No.
The only work I'd ever done in the winter was work for the post office delivering letters, and in the summer, fruit picking and so on.
Just drop this in before we go on. Yeah. Do you remember the end of the war? You remember the start? Do you remember, were there any celebrations in Wisbech at the end of the war?
Oh, yes, we roasted a bullock in the park.
Is this V-Day or VJ Day or
Oh, very much VJ Day. As you will be aware of, the East Anglian Brigade Territorial Army disappeared to Singapore. So we weren't for celebrating the end of the war in May 45. It had to be August 45. And so it was a better time of the year anyway, weather-wise. So we had a great party, a great jamboree in the park at Wisbech, was my memory. 45, so I'm, 16... 15, 16 at this stage, and roasted bullocks and had dancing and fancy dress parties and all sorts of exciting things. But that was definitely VJ Day rather than VE Day. Of course, there were minor celebrations in VE Day as well.
Now, sort of dropping back. Now, let's go to your call-up. What was the exact procedure of your call-up? What's the whole sort of way they call you into the army?
Okay, I was summoned for a medical and a selection test in Cambridge in the summer. Heaven knows when it was now, in the summer of 47. Went to Brooklands Avenue, which is still a sort of civil service enterprise, I think, even to this day. And I passed my medical, and I was interviewed.
Do you remember, was it a tough medical or a reasonably easy?
I think any young man, unless you were pigeon-toed or, had any serious, obvious serious thing, which would not. No, it was not. I mean, as far as I was going, I was a very fit young man at the time, so I passed it without a moment's thought, really. I was also interviewed as to what I might... what they might do with me, fitting, round pegs into square holes, or whatever it was in the army, and I expressed the fact that I wanted to go for a commission, though I'd failed my written exams at school. And so they said, right, okay, from all your background and all the reports you bring with you or been sent to us by school, we're going to send you to a specialist training battalion. There were a couple of them left over, hangover from the war, 28th and the 29th, I think, and the 30th, maybe, training battalions, infantry training battalions, junior leaders for special picking out people, potential NCOs and officers. The only one existing still in 1947 was the 28th training battalion, which was based in Palace Barracks, Hollywood, just outside Belfast. And so on the 17th of September, I was driven to March Railway Station by my father. It may have been the 16th of September, I don't remember the exact day. Put on the train to Liverpool, where I had to report to the transit centre at Magull Camp, M-A-G-U-L-L, I think, just outside Liverpool, to catch the ferry that night to Belfast. And then shipment, I don't remember really, shipment through a Palace Barracks in Hollywood. And I started my army career there.
And this is, was it the 28th Training Battalion? Or
28th Training
or
Battalion.
Or was it Junior Leader Training Battalion?
Junior, I think it was called the 28th Junior Leader Training Battalion. Or I don't remember that.